the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and sfmsports.net welcomes you to this presentation of Hawk Talk Live. It's a 60-minute look inside the athletics program at University of Maryland Eastern Shore. This broadcast is brought to you by the Henson, United States Coast Guard, the Hyatt Place Dewey Beach, Courtyard by Marriott, Ocean City Oceanfront, Pivot Athletic Training, and M Street Grill. Now your host of Hawk Talk Live, Will DeBoer.
It is 6 o'clock on the Eastern Shore, which means you're tuned in to Hawk Talk Live. Tonight we are at M Street Grill off of Route 13 in Princess Anne. And for the next hour, we're bringing you all the coverage of Maryland Eastern Shore Athletics. Every single bit of coverage you'll be all covered out by the end of this hour. And it's right here on the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net. Hello, everybody. Will DeBoer with you, Director of Broadcasting here at Maryland Eastern Shore, joined this week not by Ricky Pollitt, who is much like the DOA, not MIA. I was thinking, going to make a Friends reference,
yeah,
but I can't even make it. So I'll just say, okay, it's a friend of the show right now. It's Matt McCann, assistant SID here at Maryland Eastern Shore. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Will. How's your Thursday going?
Oh, my Thursday's going well. It feels like a short week, I'll tell you that.
It sure does. Well, yeah. I got to say this. I mean, I just got down here from Philadelphia.
Oh, so my goodness.
Love absolute wonderful celebration. I'm actually a Ravens fan, but my whole family's Eagles fan, so there were some suggestions to go up to see the parade today, and it was absolutely as promised, just as amazing. This has been waiting almost 60 years for it, so yeah. It's just wonderful.
Well, I'll tell you, you look like you just got back from Philly. I mean, you smell like Crisco.
Well, thankfully, I'm perfectly all right. We had a lot of support there, and when I mean not just, support from the fans. I mean, literally, people were supporting, holding you up because it was so crammed with people. It was just a great experience.
Oh, there you go. I'm glad that you didn't get swallowed up by the big green crowd.
Of course,
congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles, NFL champions for the first time in 57 years, first ever Super Bowl, and most importantly, Brady did not get his sixth. Full stop. All right, we're here at M Street Grill tonight. It's Thursday night. Your special is the Pit Barbecue Sandwich with French fries for $5.99. It's also happy hour for another hour or so. Six wings and fries for $5. Five mozzarella sticks and fries for $6. Four chicken wings and fries for $5. Brandon Phillips, the owner of this fine establishment. It's been our home ever since we revived the show back in October, and it's a joy. It's certainly a joy to come here every week.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. Yeah. Love it here. Yeah.
Dynamite drop in there, Billy.
Yeah, sorry.
Broadcasting school's really paying off.
Oh, yes. A couple more classes and I'll ace it. It'll be okay.
For sure. All right. Our three guests tonight, we got Bobby Collins, head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball. Fred Batchelor, head coach of the women's basketball team, is here. And Brian Holloman, the brand new head coach of Hawk baseball. He'll be our guest for the final segment at about 6:45. Here's a man who's been just about everywhere when it comes to baseball on Maryland's Eastern Shore, and now he's the head coach of the Division I program on the Delmarva Peninsula. But more on that later. We will jump right to men's basketball to start things off. It's a good day to be a Hawk. It was a good weekend last week. Hawks now 2-8 in MEAC play. They're 6-19 overall. Still playing the close games, Matt. 1-7 in 8 MEAC games decided by 10 points or fewer. 5 games in one possession. They're 1-4. The one came on Monday. Yeah, they were off Saturday, and then they were back in action Monday. They beat Florida A&M 62-61 to get off the schneid. A 7-game losing streak done and done. It's a low-scoring affair throughout the first half. The Hawks led 26-21 at the break. Pushed the lead to 7 twice early in the second half, but then the Rattlers didn't go away. They pulled it right back. In fact, they went up by 5 with 4:08 to go. Then a key 3 from Ahmad Frost and an and-1 from Logan McIntosh put the Hawks up. Back and forth over the final couple of minutes. Hawks down 61-60 with 6.4 seconds remaining. Logan McIntosh, the senior leader, makes the drive on the left seam. He gets fouled, goes to the free throw line, hits them both. The tying and the go-ahead free throws. The Hawks hold on defense at the end, setting off a decently wild celebration at the William P. Heitch Athletic Center. Your thoughts on that, man? You had a front row seat just as I did.
A front row seat. It's great confidence booster for this young group of players. It's got to be frustrating going in, losing by 5, losing by 3, losing by 5, to finally win one in the opposite direction, that it goes in your favor. It's got to be a great confidence booster. The crowd was huge. We want to thank everyone for coming out, supporting the team. It's a great precursor to our next game, which will be at home, which will be homecoming. Mm-hmm. And another great precursor as well, going into a long 4-game road trip that we're going to have here against some really tough competition. It's going to really decide where the Hawks be or what seed the Hawks be playing in Come At Me at tournament next month.
That is true, and it's about a month away now, March 5th, I believe, the beginning of it, March 5th,
yes.
Which means today's the 8th of February, being Thursday, so it's a little less than a month away. Leading scorers in the game for the Hawks against FAMU, Yanamad Frost, the game-high 19 points. He was 7 of 23 shooting, 3 of 7 from long range. Myron Thomas came back from a left knee injury that sidelined him for the Coppin State game. Just ho-hum, another double-double. 16 points on 7 of 11 shooting and 11 rebounds. It was his third straight double-double and fifth overall. He's now matched Bakari Copeland's total from last year. You'll remember Bakari Copeland, first-team All-MEAC forward. For the Hawks, he had 5 double-doubles in his senior year. Myron Thomas, a freshman, has 5 already.
Myron did a great job, especially early in the game. Both teams had issues finding the long-range shot early on. And having Myron step up, make a lot of rebounds, holding FAMU to the one-and-dones, then coming out, making a big shot. Had the first two baskets of the game, they were both dunks.
Oh,
breakaways.
Yeah. Electrifying.
And that really got the crowd going from moment number one, kind of kept him in, and they were with us for 44 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Logan McIntosh finished with 13 points, just 3 of 11 shooting the Rock, but 7 of 9 from the free throw line and 2 of 2 when it most counted inside the final 10 seconds of the ball game. Hawks shot 38% for the game, but pushed it up to 44% in the second half. Florida A&M, meanwhile, after sort of anemic first half, shot over 60% in the second half. The Hawks were able to hold on and reestablish control and go up and hey, the ball finally bounced the Hawks' way late in the game. As they say on television, 8 is enough.
8 is enough. It sure is. And it's good to be back in the winning ways. Again, just to repeat what I said, great confidence booster heading in as they make the flight down to Florida.
I'm sure the idle day sort of worked to help clear their heads as well to really focus and get themselves ready.
Right.
Let's see, then. The Hawks' next games, indeed, as Matt mentioned, all 4 of them on the road. 2 straight weekends away from the Heights Center. Remember, last 3 weeks, they haven't left the state of Maryland. 4 home games, then 1 at Coppin State. Now they're going as far away as they possibly can on Saturday. Bethune-Cookman down there in Daytona Beach, and then they come back up to face Howard on Monday night. Kicks off 4 in a row for the Hawks, Bethune-Cookman, Howard, and then North Carolina Central and North Carolina A&T next weekend. And it's strange, Matt, because all 4 of those are repeat games for Maryland Eastern Shore. They're packing them all in after hosting all 4 of them. They're visiting all 4 of them, 4 games in a row.
Right. Well, first of all, try not to enjoy the sunshine too much down in Florida for me, because I don't travel with the teams. I just work them when they're home. But so, yeah, these are going to be some challenges. See what we can come up with. These are 4 teams that have tried the Hawks before. These teams have won all 4 games. They're all talented. They have players who can play, and if they're not at the top of the MEAC, they have a good opportunity to win the game. So it's going to be interesting to see how the next 4 games play out, how the team reacts, how they respond to playing somebody a second time, because they really haven't done it save 1 or 2 opportunities out they get this year.
Not at all this year.
So they haven't at all. Okay.
MEAC's easy. You got 13 teams, so you play 12 of them, 4 of them on the road, 4 of them at home, and then 4 repeats.
Right. So this is basically the only time they're doing
this. This is the grudge tour, right?
Because when they come back, they're playing Norfolk and Delaware, those teams we have not faced at all this year. Yeah. So.
And those are the final 2 games of the year. They're both at home. Homecoming against Norfolk State on February 24th. That's a Saturday. And then Monday, the 26th of February against Dell State. That's senior night. Last 2 home games of the year at the Heights Center, so don't miss out. On to women's basketball. The Hawks are now 4-6 in MEAC play. They're 7-15 overall. After an 0-3 start in the MEAC, the Hawk women have won 4 out of their last 7, also off Saturday, and they beat up on Florida A&M on Monday night, 87-70. The Hawks led wire to wire, and they pushed this thing to double figures even in the first quarter. They were up 52-38 at halftime, shooting 18 of 33 from the floor. That's 55% in one half of basketball. Now, everybody sort of came back to earth offensively in the second half, but the Hawks never really gave up control. They led by as many as 22 in this one. Breaking down the big 5 Hawks scoring in double figures on Monday night, led by Jordan Smith, a career-high 22 points. She had a career-high by halftime, 16 in the first half. Smith finishing with 22 points, shooting 8 of 13 and 6 of 6 from the free-throw line. Kiara Eaton had another great all-around day, 17 points, 5 of 17 shooting, but 4 of 8 from 3. Perfect 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and most importantly, no turnovers. That's always important to see. CeCe Byram with 12 points. She has 5 of 8 from the floor. A lot of those baskets layups from the left side where she basically turns that left lane into the Autobahn. She does it so well. Also 5 rebounds and 4 assists. And Tori Morris with 11 points, including a couple of step-back mid-range jumpers, which you don't usually see from her. And last but certainly not least, Barisha Gill-Miles. Buns finished with 10 points and 15 rebounds. Her 4th straight double-double, 6th double-double overall. I don't think she got a Rookie of the Week this week in the MEAC, simply because the Hawks only played one game. But Matt McCann, from that list of 5, most impressive, you think?
Most impressive, I think, was Smith overall. She played a solid 40 minutes of basketball, and that really paced the whole team. I mean, you said they were in double figures most of the game. They were in double figures, I think, before the first media timeout hit.
Mm-hmm.
They really came out, shot the lights out of the gym, really, the first 5 minutes. And that's
why it was so hard to see.
That really, yeah, that's why it was so hard to see. And it paced the tone, it set the tone for the whole game. And Smith was right there, always solid, always making the big plays. And then especially really helped out with Gill-Miles, because she did a double-double. What's even more impressive, she didn't play as many minutes as usual because she got foul trouble pretty early.
First 5 minutes.
And then she didn't play really until you got into about the third quarter. The Hawks were doing pretty well. Fred had a good lineup in, so he didn't throw Buns in there until about halfway through the third quarter. And then, again, with Tori Morris as well. We were talking about it the other night, how the 11, I said, how many points did Tori Morris get? And you said 11. And I said, really? Because it was kind of a sneaky 11 points. She got in there, made great plays when she needed to.
Absolutely.
And it was she was an excellent presence coming off the bench.
Absolutely, she was. The Hawks seem to be peaking at the right moment here as the calendar turns to February. They could only get better. And same situation for the men. They're on their grudge tour for the next 2 weeks at Bethune-Cookman, at Howard, at NC Central, at North Carolina A&T. Starting on Saturday at Bethune-Cookman, a place where Hawks went last year. Mariah McCoy hit that 3 in the final seconds, and they dealt the eventual MEAC champion Lady Wildcats their only conference loss of the year. They went 15-1. We were the one.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and Bethune-Cookman, again, is right there at the top of the pack. Again, they're not relenting. They're not rebuilding. They're reloading, and they are a team to be reckoned with once again.
Absolutely. Indoor track now. The Hawks hosted the Eastern Shore Invitational over the weekend. Men finishing 2nd, the women finishing 3rd. Friday was a banner day. Matt, I know you had a front row seat to this. Both 4 My 200 teams won, and the women's distance medley also won. All these MEAC qualifiers also through that past weekend. Jessica Roney qualified in the women's pentathlon. Joshua Dakaris in the 60-meter dash. Ngoy Nyamishti. I know I'm probably saying that wrong.
I can help you out when you let me know here.
Well, they qualified for the 800-meter run.
So.
Full results on EasternShoreHawks.com. That's where you can go for the full rundown. And the Hawks back in action, indoor track, the MEAC Championships in Landover, Maryland, February 15th through 17th. So we'll have the idle this weekend preparing for the greatest show on, well, Under Lights.
Under Lights at the PG Sports and Learning Complex. And yeah, very, very great weekend for track. They're now going to bring a solid contingency with Josh Dakers and Nagoya Namitshi making it for their events. Jessica Roney winning the pentathlon, going for that. We have a very nice group of athletes heading up to Landover, I should say.
Yeah, we do. Over the bridge and up to Landover.
Yes.
We're looking forward to it. Bowling finished 11th at the Prairie View A&M Invitational in Arlington, Texas this past weekend. Full results of that meet are on EasternShoreHawks.com. They're back in action next weekend. They're off this weekend, but they head back down to Texas, Houston, to be exact. Stephen A. F. Austin's Jack's Invitational, February 16th. Through the 18th. And finally, baseball. Matt, it's almost baseball season.
I'm ready for this.
It begins next week with a 4-game series at Austin Peay, February 16th through the 18th. Then the next weekend at Winthrop, they got their first home game Tuesday, February 27th against LaSalle. And Brian Holloman will be ready to lead his Hawks in the battle. Brand new head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore Baseball. We'll be able to talk to him in about half an hour. For now, it's time for our first commercial break. When we come back, Bobby Collins is here. We'll see if we can get him. Well, we won't see. He will be able to come here and talk with us about a big win and set us up for the weekend on the road. This is Hawk Talk Live on the Shore Sports Network and SFMSports.net.
Hello, I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake?
No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that.
All right, see ya! Here you go, man. Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Pivot Physical Therapy is the leading provider of physical therapy and sports medicine services in the Mid-Atlantic region, with over 270 clinic locations and providing sports medicine services to over 120 youth, scholastic, collegiate, and professional programs. Pivot Physical Therapy is in your backyard with locations in Salisbury, Berlin, Cambridge, Easton, and Seaford. Pivot Physical Therapy and Pivot Sports Medicine is a proud partner of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, providing athletic training and physical therapy care to your Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks.
Hey, Hawk alumni! The University of Maryland Eastern Shore's homecoming is almost here. Princess Anne comes alive on February the 23rd with the Maryland Eastern Shore Hall of Fame induction ceremony, welcoming Hawk athletic greats to the class of 2018. Afterwards, check out local favorites On the Edge in concert during the Hall of Fame gala. The night kicks off at 6 p.m. Get your tickets at umestickets.com. University of Maryland Eastern Shore's homecoming, February 23rd at 6 p.m. Tickets online at umestickets.com.
Do you need a break, a getaway? Plan a visit to Hyatt Place Dewey Beach in Delaware. Lay back, relax with your toes in the sand, and unwind to the sounds of the ocean. Please your palate with a delicious meal at Cape Hasa Restaurant on the bay while taking in the sights of a beautiful sunset. It's time to get away and make that getaway to the Hyatt Place Dewey Beach. Call 302-864-9100 or visit HyattPlaceDeweyBeach.com. Make a lifetime of memories in your own backyard at Hyatt Place Dewey Beach. That's Hyatt Place Dewey Beach on Facebook and Instagram.
There's a way to give her a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day.
And a way to give her a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day.
Turn it up this Valentine's Day with Levion Chocolate Diamond Jewelry from Jared. You'll find more exclusive Levion pieces at Jared than any other jewelry store in the world. And when you visit Jared.com from February 1st through the 14th, you'll receive $100 off any Levion purchase. That's our Valentine's gift to you.
And that's why he went to Jared.
Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
Guys, get to JCPenney and show her some love. Now through Valentine's Day, find gifts she'll love like select fine and fashion jewelry up to 70% off after an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. Or for rewards members, get 1/10 carat total weight diamond studs or pendant for just $25 each while supplies last. Hurry in and find the gifts that will make her Valentine's Day. JCPenney. Coupon valid 2H-214. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Sephora excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. Offers represent savings on regular original prices while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill in Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
Welcome back to Hawk Talk Live, everybody. It's time for our second segment of the night. It's the quarter past the hours, which means it's Bobby Collins time, head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball, and he's here with a big smile on his face after the win three nights ago. Hi, Coach.
How you doing, Matt? How you doing, Will? Fantastic. I heard you say you was in Philly hanging out with the Eagles.
Yes, a lot of fun.
Well, I was for the Eagles, mainly because Dallas Cowboys is my team, and I just wanted to vote for the go for the team that was closest to my Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. So
congratulations. I heard you say you was a Baltimore Ravens.
Yes. It's more for my family than it is for me.
Right.
He's the black sheep of the family. He chose Ravens instead of Eagles.
Yeah.
Which means he's got two more celebrations under his belt.
I do. But I'll know how to deal with this for my family. I'll give them some experience and we'll go from there.
There you go. Meanwhile, I'm a Colts fan.
Tell you next year the Dallas Cowboys will be celebrating a Super Bowl championship, so I'm excited about that.
Well, you heard it here first, you don't even need to watch the NFL this next year. All right, shifting gears to your sport now, to basketball. Monday night's win over Florida A&M by the slimmest of margins, 1 point. It's a long time coming, but the Hawks finally had the ball bounce their way.
Yes, and I was so excited to see that ball bounce our way, because the last six or seven games, we haven't been able to get that bounce. Talked about, you know, the practice prior to the game that we were either going to have to get a stop, or we're either going to have to hit a free throw, or we're going to have to get a rebound. Something's got to happen in order for us to win the game, and all three of them occurred. We had to get the rebound, we had to shoot the free throw, and we had to get a stop.
All in the final 10 seconds.
All in the final 10 seconds.
And it was a great win. I'm sure the locker room must have been buzzing after a win like that.
Yeah, but there were smiles on the guy's face, and there was a sense of relief. You know, throughout the spurt of the game, we were kind of going through a drought, and I looked over at my coaches. I said, I think we need to go to Myron and let him carry us for a while. And he was able to put us on his back for two or three possessions and make some big baskets for us and got some big rebounds. There was one possession where he got three consecutive rebounds right there, and they kind of set the tone. And everybody kind of fed off of that. And I just thought at that moment we were destined to win that game. I didn't know how, but I just felt like we were going to be destined.
All right, well, destiny played out.
Yes, it did. How did you feel about the student section and all the fans coming out? Look, it was a great atmosphere for the first time in a while. Now the students are back in on campus, and even had Dr. Bell out there doing the wave. I don't know if you saw that, but it was a fun environment. I think that might have helped push over the top.
Yes,
well,
actually, Dr. Bell came in and spoke to the players prior to the game and told them that she believed him and that she was our number one fan, and our guys really fed off of that. So when we won, she was really, really especially excited. And I was especially excited to see our fans there. And I know that they played a major role in our success in that game on the other night, because the last few games that we played, the gym was kind of quiet due to the fans. Our students were at home. But we have a special fan that sits behind our bench. I think his name is Keon, something like that. But he is a special fan, and he really, really – sets the tone for our environment, and I'm you know, he deserves a hand clap, he deserves a dinner, mm-hmm. or something on my behalf.
I think you're thinking about Kadeem, right? He's the guy who bangs on the steps. Oh, he comes behind you, yells, yeah.
I still feel some of those vibrations even after the game is finished. There, he's very good at that.
I actually went to church on Sunday, and Kadeem was there, and he spoke about endurance. If you can endure pain. And our pain happened to be losing all those close games. And he said, you just have to stay true and stay firm to your beliefs. And good things are around the corner that's about to happen.
That's true. And you mentioned Myron Thomas, of course, with his fifth double-double of the season. And you know, you said at the beginning of the year he was the heart and soul of the team. And now we're starting to see it. You know, you put the game on his back in the middle of the second half. He didn't let you down here. What have you seen from him growth-wise as the season's gone on?
Well, you know, each one of our players do certain things, and Myron brings that energy. Logan and Ahmad should be our heart and soul of our team. And I told Logan McIntosh at the end of the game, the last 4 minutes, I said, I believe in you, and I want the ball in your hands. We're going to lose or we're going to win with you. And I said, I'm going to ride you. You the only lone senior, along with he's a senior, along with our walk-on Najee Fisher.
Right,
but
right,
you know, I told him, I want the ball in your hands. You're going to win this game for us, because he went through a spurt where he turned the ball over a couple of times and he conceded to Ahmad to run the point. But I told him, nope, you're going to run this team. You're going to make this happen. And he hit a big basket, and he came back and hit the big free throws, and then he was part of that person that helped get the stop at the end of the game.
It was great to watch, and certainly, Matt, I think anyone who's followed the team the last couple of years got to feel good for Logan having a moment like that.
Feels great for Logan. I know Logan really embraces the role of being a senior leader and to really come through and make those clutch foul shots right at the end. Must have felt great for him.
You know, Logan, that was big free throws for him, a big confidence booster for him, because there has been a couple of games where he kind of struggled on the free throw line and he kind of felt unsure about himself. And I saw when he hit the first one, he took a deep breath and he's like, wow, I got the first one. I tied the game. So this next one is going to be good. And he hit the next one. And I said, okay, all we need to do is get one stop and we all can take that deep breath.
There you go. And got the stop you did at the very end there. The defense got just enough done at the buzzer. Florida A&M seemed to make some second half adjustments and got back into the game. But you guys were able to shut him down at the end there. What was the defensive play that was drawn up?
Well, we wanted to match up and make sure we keep everybody in front of us. And we had Logan in the middle field. And anybody who caught the ball, Logan was supposed to go and trap that person or at least turn him and try to run the clock out. Mm-hmm. But the guy went downhill and he attacked Logan and kind of got to the basket and fell and missed the shot. So we were very fortunate and lucky that he missed the shot and we got the rebound, and that was the end of the game. So I was extremely relieved, because I looked at the clock He was still dribbling. I looked back up at the clock. Time was still on the clock. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the clock was moving so slow, and he was moving so fast. I was like, wow. But I was very excited for our team and for our fans and for our students because they hadn't seen us play very much. So I was very proud that we were able to pull it off for them as well.
And, hey, with the fans and the students here on campus and in the building, you guys are undefeated. The Valley Forge game at the beginning of the year, American University in December, and then everybody got back to the Florida A&M game. It's three wins.
Hey, absolutely. That's what they see.
Just imagine how Norfolk State and Delaware State will turn out. That'll an omen.
Mm-hmm. Our students are aware that, you know, we've lost some key components of our team, and we're going to struggle a little bit early, and we have, but we still have enough, and we compete, and we play hard, and I'm proud of our guys for the effort that they leave on the floor every night.
We're talking to Bobby Collins. He's the head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball, and we touched on Ahmad Frost a little bit earlier in the segment. There are a couple of plays, Coach, where Ahmad seemed like he was driving towards the hoop, then he stops on a dime, slams the brakes, breaks a couple of the ankles, and hits some mid-range jumpers. I mean, that's the sort of thing where if he's that good at doing that now, imagine what he's going to be like as a junior and a senior.
Right. Well, you know, he works hard. Coach Reed takes special time out and work with Ahmad and Logan McIntosh and those guys. I know they're capable of hitting that shots because I see the work that they put in. You know, we could have easily folded as a team. With all that we've gone through, we could have easily folded when we got down five. Mm-hmm. But Ahmad came down, hit a big shot, knocked it down, boom. And I was very proud and pleased that he hit that shot. Then Logan came back down and he hit the layup, and there's the game. We were back in the game. So this team has some fight. But I continue to tell them that a team that can execute in half court, you know, I'm an equal opportunist fast break coach, meaning that he does a bad shot, quick shot, or a steal, turnover, then yeah, let's run, let's go. But still, let's execute our half court sets. Let's execute defensively, and when tournament time come, we'll be accustomed to doing those things.
There you go. That's the name of the game right there.
Yeah. Talked a little bit more about Myron Thomas. With the way he stepped up, we talked about how he stepped up in the first half when some of the shots weren't falling for some of the other players. How would you judge his growth for the season, being a freshman and having to step into this role that maybe originally wasn't planned for him?
Well, every day in practice, I'm on Myron hard, mm-hmm, about maturing and growing and staying focused, because the sky's the limit for that young man. And once he matures, I keep forgetting he's only 18. And when Dante Caldwell came in as a freshman, he kind of struggled. He was immature, and we can see Dante in him. And when now Dante is that mature person, he's that guy that I can depend on. I can say, hey, we got a meeting at 7 o'clock. He's going to make sure everybody get there. But when the Myron Thomas becomes a sophomore, junior, senior, he will be a special player and maybe possibly hang his jersey up in the banners if he continues to get focused, if he continues to grow, he continues to get better. And obviously, he's got to continue to mature.
I think we've all thought of that. I mean, seeing what he's done as a freshman, Miak, watch out. And speaking of Miak, watch out. Other teams got to watch out for us getting on the road. We're leaving Maryland for the first time in about 3 weeks. Four in a row on the road. And this sort of seems like a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you know, it's a good thing to not get complacent with staying at home too often for 3 weeks specifically. But on the other hand, it can be tough to get the gears grinding again with a road routine. What are you looking for from this road
trip? Well, I tell you, I would like to have that reversed. And I would like to be having those home games now that we have our students here and play in front of our students and have that exciting environment that we had the other night. But since we're going on the road, Bethune-Cookman is a very hostile environment. It's going to be hot in that little gym. It's going to be packed. It's going to be a very, very – I love actually playing there because it's hot. I love it because you get loose. Our guys go in there. Everybody want to jump and run and be very athletic. So – I'm excited about the opportunity to play there. I had a lot of success there, and I look forward to our guys going there and just playing in front of that hostile environment. And I got to just talk to our guys about being focused. Having freshmen and guys that haven't played there, they don't understand that environment yet. Mm-hmm. But this is the environment that I tell them that's why we practice so hard. That's why we get on them hard every day about just being focused.
And real quick, before we let you go here, four in a row on the road, including Bethune-Cookman on Saturday. These are all repeat games coming up here, and all four of these games were close. They were all single-digit losses. In your mind, is this a sort of revenge tour across the MEAC for the next 2 weeks?
No, we want to take one game at a time. And we want to say Bethune-Cookman is the most important game on our schedule because, obviously, it's the next game. And I want our guys to play with a chip on their shoulders, but also just want to take one game at a time.
Okay. Well, thank you, Coach. Thanks for joining us once again. And we're looking forward to getting down there at the hot gym in Bethune-Cookman. Hopefully, we'll come out with a win.
Yes, thank you.
Bobby Collins, everybody. Maryland Eastern Shore back in action on Saturday afternoon in Bethune-Cookman. That's approximately 4 o'clock tip time. Depends on when the women's game ends. Then it's at Howard on Monday night at about 7:30. You can catch the full coverage on the Full Shore Sports Network, Fox Sports AM 960 in Salisbury, sfmsports.net, and various local country station websites all across Delmarva. We're going to hit another commercial when we come back. The bottom of the hour on Hawk Talk Live, we'll speak with Fred Batchelor about his women's basketball team and their big win against Florida A&M right after this. This is the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net.
Hello, I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake?
No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that.
All right, see ya! Here you go, man. Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Committed to serving you even better, McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center in Princess Anne. Stop by when you need us and experience our expanded services, including 3D mammography for advanced early detection of breast cancer. Conveniently located next to Food Lion in Princess Anne and open 7 days a week from 10 to 8. Most insurance plans are accepted and no appointments are needed at McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center. McCready Health, with you for life.
Hawks fans, improving reliability with new technology and upgrades is only part of Delmarva Power's commitment to customers. They're also helping customers save money and energy with tips, tools, and programs that can help everyone reduce monthly bills. Just visit delmarva.com/everyone saves for more. That's delmarva.com/everyone saves. Delmarva Power, proud sponsor of Maryland Eastern Shore Athletics.
In the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, success for our student-athletes isn't just measured by wins and losses, points on the scoreboard, or individual stats. It's also measured by their performance in the classroom, in the community, and ultimately graduation. Our student-athletes aren't just playing to win a single game. They're playing to win at life, because games end, but life keeps on going. The MEAC, educating student-athletes for the game of life.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Zelle, a new way to make money flow. I'll get back Steve, who covered tickets to the show. Pay my sister, who bought my flight where I sat next to a baby that sang all night. With Zelle, banks have my back. Huh. Money's protected. Save funds to family and friends as expected.
Nice.
I'll pay my brother to cover the cost of the golf clubs I borrowed and totally lost.
It's all good.
The new way to send money from your banking app. Zelle. This is how money moves. More info at ZellePay.com.
Must have a bank account in the U.S. to use Zelle. Transactions between enrolled users usually take minutes.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill in Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
Welcome back. It's the bottom of the hour. Hawk Talk Live here at M Street Grill. Will DeBoer and Matt McCann, your hosts this evening. Thursday night here at the M Street Grill. Happy hour still. Half an hour longer. You can come down and get your specials and have the pit barbecue sandwich and fries for $6 tonight, and it's a delicious sandwich. Had it a couple of times before. Come and join us for the fun. Time for women's basketball on the show now. We've got Fred Batchelor here. He's the head coach of the Hawk women's basketball team. Also victorious, a 17-point victory over Florida A&M on Monday night. So, Coach, I think the off day on Saturday must have worked. You guys came out and socked the Rattlers in the mouth the whole game.
Yeah, we were ready to play. I liked the way we started the game and the way we played the first half. I thought we gave up too many points in the first half, but at the same time, you know, the fact that we were able to put up so many points, that was a positive thing about it. But I thought we scored the ball really well. I was a little concerned with our defense, but I thought we in the second half because I knew we couldn't sustain that type of shooting. You know, looking at the percentages from the first half, so I knew we'd have to play better defense, and I thought we did that.
Certainly, I mean, nobody can shoot 55% for an entire game. You know, I don't think even UConn can do that.
Yeah, and let alone 40+% from three and. You know, over 70% from the line, even though we did finish with 70% over the line. I was just pleased that we were able to knock down some shots, and I think that's been something that's hurt us. It was something that hurt us tremendously bad at Coppin, and to be at home and knock down shots, I think it only builds our confidence as we get ready to go on the road.
We talked earlier about Jordan Smith with the 22 points, and I think when you brought her in from George Mason, this was kind of the game that you might have envisioned recruiting her. What did you see from her on Monday night, and do you think it's something that she can probably carry on the rest of the season?
Well, what I've been seeing from Jordan is her work ethic. She's been working and, you know, diligently working in outside of practice times, putting in time, really getting in the gym and working on her shot, working on her game, and just staying focused and staying determined, even through the disappointments. And when you have that, and I try to tell my kids all the time, when you have the right spirit and the right attitude, eventually things are going to work out for you. And so it's really good to see a kid like her who's been so committed to doing things, working hard, playing for her teammates, listening to her coaches, to be able to have some success in putting the ball in the basket. And Matt, you're right. That was something that we expected from her. I think she was on, she started the season leading us in scoring and rebounding, and then she got hurt, and it kind of set us back a little bit. But I think she's peaking at the right time, and she's a kid that we expect her to be a dominant player in MEAC play.
A lot of Hawks seem to be reaching their apex around this time. Kiara Eaton, another great all-around performance. What was it, 17 points for her, I think 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and most importantly, no turnovers for Kiara Eaton. I know you've mentioned before that when she's healthy, she's pretty much the team MVP, and that was an MVP-caliber performance.
Well, that's something we've been working on, rhythm and timing. I mean, here's a young lady that didn't play at all in the preseason, sat out the first couple games. Last year, coming off an injury, didn't play much as well. So it's been tough for her to get a rhythm, let the game come to her. And for both her and CeCe to have 9 assists and 0 turnovers in the backcourt, and I believe they had 12 and 17, 21 points, 19, that to me, was really an effective backcourt play. And that's what we need from both Kiki and CeCe. If they can produce at that level, and you're going to get the play you're going to get from Jordan and Tori, but the guard set the tone. And I thought their ability to do that without turning the ball over was critical.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So another player, CeCe Byram, I mean, talking about coming off injuries, but we saw some flashes of what she had last year before she got hurt, where she was driving left, made a couple of key plays. What did you see from her?
Well, I always say I think, CeCe's our best player. That's been something that she established from basically the time she stepped on campus. And the injury set us back. It set our program back. And I think she's just now starting to feel somewhat comfortable. That a year-long injury has an effect. I mean, you look at Isaiah Thomas and what he's dealing with making the transition with Cleveland. And here's a professional who's only been out a couple months. We're talking about a young lady that's been out off the floor for a year, and it takes some time for her to come back. But the point that we want to make to her is that, CeCe, you don't have to play great. You just have to play good. And if she can play good enough to get to where she's a great player, but we need her to play good. And I thought the other day she played a good game. She didn't play a great game. She had 12 points. She had 5 assists, I believe, and 0 turnovers. To me, that's a really, really good basketball game. And if we can get her to play like that on a consistent basis, I think it makes it easy for everyone. We don't need her to, give us 18, 20 a game. We just need her to play well enough that she's the threat that she is with the ball, and it opens up for everybody else, and then she can distribute that.
Now, Matt and I were talking about Kristaps Porzingis before the show started, the Knicks all-star who just tore his ACL a couple of days ago. The big thing that we're talking about is coming back from the ACL. A lot of people say that the confidence, the mental block is the big thing that even more so, okay, maybe not more so than the physical injury. It's one of the worst injuries you can get, but mentally it's tough to get back from that. How do you think CeCe has been coming back from the injury, not just physically, but in her own head?
Well, I think that this is where we go back to the whole process of believing in the process. And I've never torn my ACL. My brother, my younger brother, who I coached, did. And it really deterred his whole career. And that's what it will do to a lot of people. It's the special ones who are able to overcome it. And I think CeCe has learned a lot in this process. But our trainer, who I believe is the best in the country, Pat Nativio, mm-hmm. is an incredible trainer. And we fight her a lot because we want the kids on the floor. The kids say they want to get on the floor. The parents are fighting with her. But she's waiting to see from them what they're going to have to be successful when they get on the floor. And, you know, CeCe's battle to get on the floor, you know, Pat really challenged her. And I still think that if she had overcome the challenges with Pat, the transition back on the floor would have been a lot better. And I think that's something that she's learning through the process. But trust in the process, trust in how hard you have to work. CeCe's a kid that's never really had to work hard. She's always been an extremely talented kid. Her dad tells me a story about when he was training her older brother how to ride a bike. And she kept saying, "Dad, show me, show me." And he was out there with the older brother, showing the older brother. And then all of a sudden, she comes riding by him on the bike, you know, three years younger than her brother. And CeCe, things just came natural to her. It came easy. And basketball is the same thing. But when that injury happened, that makes it tough. So for players like a Porzingis, you really get to kind of see their character. And I think what we're seeing from CeCe is her character being developed. And I tell them all the time, everything happens for a reason. I think this experience that she's going through, it may be a challenging experience on a basketball court, but I think it's going to help her make her a better person in life.
You often see that with the players who are the very, very best at their particular sport. It's hard for them to get into coaching and things like that mm-hmm. because they can't explain it. They were just naturally good at it. Now, if CeCe wants to take that route after her graduation, after her basketball career ends, I think based on what you're saying is she's going to be prepared to explain basketball and teach basketball more than she would have otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. And what I really heard from you is that I must not have been a really good player since I've coached for so long. And I think that's what they say. Most coaches who are able to teach, you know, they didn't know, so they teach. So I think it helps to have some basketball experience. But I think you're right. It is a lot harder to explain what makes them so good as opposed to being able to teach someone, you know, what it takes to be good.
Well, in regards to that, you might well think that I couldn't possibly comment.
Well, all I know is that I know you scored 1,000 points at Valley Forge Christian, so that is something when you played. So I'll speak up for that in that respect.
Thank you, man.
One thing I did see was that usually Jordan Smith and Torrey Morris complement each other, where one is on the court and one is off. And for the first time, I think they both were on the court at the same time playing. Torrey had a great game, hit some mid-range jumpers. You saw a few additional facets to her game. What do you hope to see from her coming into those last few games here?
Well, I thought we're going to need Torrey. Torrey does some big things around the basket, and when she's efficient with putting the ball in the basket, finishing, but she did a really good job the other day. Was she rebounded the ball fairly well, but she went 5 of 6 from the free throw line. So when she can put the ball in the basket from the free throw line, she hit a short jumper, I believe. And what happened was, you know, Buns has been getting a lot of time with the fact that she's our leading scorer and leading rebounder. So with only playing two post players, you know, and Jordan playing the way she does, it kind of puts Torrey on the outs a little bit. But I like the fact that when she got in foul trouble, when Buns got in foul trouble, we were able to increase the minutes with Torrey. I feel very confident doing that, especially with certain lineups. And I thought even Cassinia came in and gave us some good quality minutes when we needed her. So, you know, without having Dominique Walker on the floor anymore for the rest of the season, and then Choma being out with the concussion, you know, we've needed those four kids to step up and be able to take care of business. And I thought that Torrey did a great job the other day, and I'm expecting her down the stretch to show her fifth year senior leadership experience in a big way.
both down low and with the mid-range jumpers that we haven't really seen much from her this year. That was a beautiful sight to see. Speaking of Chomomoy Chen, any news about her? She's still in the protocol? Or?
Yeah, she's back. She's practiced. She practiced today, no contact. We're expecting to probably have her on the floor. If we don't have her on the floor this trip that we take Saturday, Monday, we should get her back following that. But going back to Tori also can knock down the three. She's a three-point threat as well.
Oh.
And especially at certain points on certain spots on the floor. So I'm optimistic that you're going to see the best of these kids down the stretch.
We're looking forward to it, and we're certainly looking forward to Bethune-Cookman on Saturday. Close loss at home earlier this year and last year as well, but then last year in Daytona Beach, their first building, or the first game in that building after the hurricane, come in and shut them down, win by three, and it's their only conference loss of the season. So are you looking forward to getting back and perhaps doing it again?
Yeah, I am. I have to say, going back to this past week with me being out, I thought Coach Rakes and Coach Morton did an exceptional job of getting those kids ready. It was really, really a smooth transition for me to walk in on Monday night after missing practice for a whole week and have them shoot 52% and 40% and 70% from the field. They were really ready to play. And I attribute that all to my assistant coaches. They did a great job of getting them ready. And I think that having an opportunity to go into Bethune and giving them their only loss last year, I think we got a lot of confidence going in, and I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm glad that they're undefeated, and we're looking forward to going in and playing one of our better games of the year.
Same here, Coach. Best of luck. We'll see you down there on Saturday.
Thank you.
Hawk women's basketball, Saturday afternoon against Bethune-Cookman. We got pregame coverage 150 on sfmsports.net. Then it's on to Howard. One last break. When we come back, Brian Holloman's here, the brand-new head coach of Hawk Baseball. We'll talk all things with the Great American Pastime on the final segment of Hawk Talk Live. This is the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net.
The Eastern Shore is a perfect place to visit year-round. A gem hidden on the lower shore is the Henson. Located in the heart of Princess Anne on the picturesque campus of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, the Henson is the perfect choice for campus visits, business trips, reunions, meetings, and relaxing getaways. Check into the Henson, and we'll take care of the rest. Book online at umes.edu/Henson.
Training is about more than muscle. It's about inner strength. So I push myself. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. I train with the best. A team that shares my drive and commitment. We collect intelligence, guard our shores against drug smugglers, and keep our waterways safe. Because our nation expects more. Discover a future that exceeds your expectations. Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Pivot Physical Therapy is the leading provider of physical therapy and sports medicine services in the Mid-Atlantic region, with over 270 clinic locations and providing sports medicine services to over 120 youth, scholastic, collegiate, and professional programs. Pivot Physical Therapy is in your backyard, with locations in Salisbury, Berlin, Cambridge, Easton, and Seaford. Pivot Physical Therapy and Pivot Sports Medicine is a proud partner of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, providing athletic training and physical therapy care to your Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks.
Hello, I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake?
No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that.
All right, see ya!
Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill in Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of Hawk Talk Live for the night, and our final guest of the evening, he's the new head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore Baseball. He's Brian Holloman. And of course, first a quick resume. Coach Parkside High School for 14 seasons, 2003 through 17, 14 straight winning seasons, two-time state finalist. He was at Mardella Springs for 4 years before that, a team captain and all-conference at Salisbury University up through 1995, and then a graduate assistant here at Maryland Eastern Shore, 96 through 99. So, Coach, before we jump in here, just want to make sure Bob Kraft hasn't gotten to you, right? Like you're not staying with the Patriots, are you?
No. I tell you what, you know, that was a great game this past weekend, and I enjoyed watching both both teams. They did a great job, and I was pretty proud of Nick Foles, to be honest with you. He had a great game and proved some naysayers wrong.
Certainly, and the fact that it came out that he was the one who called that trick play at the end of the first half, I mean, that's just, you know, mad respect for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So here you are. It's your first season in the college ranks as a head coach after 20 years in high school, Mardella Springs, then the great things you did at Parkside High School. Why now? Why was this the time to make the jump to the college ranks?
Well, I'll tell you, quite honestly, we do a lot in the high school ranks and enjoyed growing kids and sending them off to college, but it was time to go ahead and get an opportunity to work with some of those guys at a different level. You know, when they come into high school, there's a lot that they need to learn. And, you know, hopefully here at UMES, we'll be able to grow some of the guys from the highest level and move them on to, you know, potentially be able to play in the professional ranks if that be the case.
Absolutely.
So we're finally getting to the light at the end of the tunnel now in the offseason. You're about a week out from traveling down to Tennessee for Austin Peay. How's the build-up to the first season been, and what are some challenges from making the transition from Parkside back here to Maryland Eastern Shore?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I think the biggest challenge has been I've been set in my ways. So I've spent 18 years of developing a program and a way of doing things, and now I'm kind of going back and starting at ground zero. But, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we're teaching seniors the same thing we're teaching freshmen. So everybody's learning at the same level. And generally when you walk into a program or you have an established program, the seniors and juniors can teach the sophomores and freshmen, you know, how to do things, how we run things. And right now we're starting at ground zero. But, you know, the guys are doing a great job. They absolutely have a good attitude, and I'm really excited to see them work in a real game.
That's good to hear. I mean, with the upperclassmen who have been around the block more than a few times, juniors and seniors especially, to have them receptive to the new things that the new coach is bringing in has to be certainly a chip on your shoulder.
Well, like I said, we are very excited about the fact that they're learning at a pretty quick pace. And, you know, they've been through four different programs. And it's like bringing a new offensive coordinator in every year and trying to teach them a new offense. We're doing the same thing, whether it be offense or defense. We're teaching them some new approaches and some new ways of doing things. And hopefully they'll catch on pretty quickly. You know, it'll take a little while once we get into games to really put all those things into place. But I think they'll be fine. You know, we've got some very intelligent guys, some guys that are passionate about the game, so I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Coach, not only did you work with the baseball team at Parkside, you also worked in the guidance department. How does that experience impact the way you coach a game and work with players?
Well, you know, one of the things that we like to do is have our guys come in and enjoy the relationship between a player and a coach. And we're not just here to win baseball games. We're here to grow players and to develop young men into, you know, future leaders and good human beings. So not only are we focused on the game, but we're also focused on how they develop and grow as a dad, a father, whatever.
We're talking to Brian Holloman. He's the head coach of Hawk Baseball. Mr. Delmarva Baseball at the high school level at least, but college level now too. You've been involved with baseball on Delmarva for a quarter century now, dating back to 1992 when you first enrolled in Salisbury U. What's been the most distinctive thing about baseball in this region for you, and also having played in semi-pro for all those years too? You've seen basically every corner of it.
Well, I've had the pleasure of being able to not only play but coach and grow with people in the community. I just went to a dinner the other night with a guy that received the Jefferson Award. And, you know, it was a proud moment for me to be a part of, you know, him getting an award. You know, baseball guys tend to do a lot of things for the community, not only because they love baseball, but because they love kids and they love growing the community and they love how things really you know, how things evolve. And, you know, quite honestly, my job, as I see it, is to see the community grow, to see kids grow, to see the fruit from our labor. And to be honest with you, like I said, I'm not all about just winning. I'm all about trying to grow kids. And I just read an email the other day that one of my former players is becoming a physician. So that's pretty incredible, you know.
Definitely.
Coach, obviously every coach wants to win, wants to compete out there. Alongside that, any other expectations you have for you for the team coming into this year?
Well, like I said, I really would like to see our guys win some baseball games just because we've struggled in that area for quite a while. But winning is not the sole determining factor as to whether or not we've grown and gotten better. And I tell you, back when I was here at Maryland Eastern Shore in the late 90s, seeing some of our guys come back to our alumni games and things like that and seeing where they are. One of my former players just got a state award for Coach of the Year. And you know, that makes me prouder than anything else that I can do. So, you know, these guys are learning life lessons that hopefully they'll take on for the rest of their lives.
Now, with this season, road trips that you're most looking forward to, I've got one circled, certainly. March 20th and 21st, you're playing NC Central at the old Durham Athletic Park where the Bulls used to play. And you're playing Duke at the new one, the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, which is the current home of the Bulls. I mean, that's anyone involved in baseball has got to love the Durham Bulls and getting to play where they've played.
Yeah, 100%. You know, one of the good things is with me being involved in baseball for so many years, I've enjoyed playing in all these parks myself. So getting an opportunity to see some of these guys get a chance to play in some minor league parks and all is for some of them, it should be a dream come true. But again, I've played up and down the East Coast, so many minor league parks and whatnot. It's going to be a pleasure for a lot of these guys to see and feel the, you know, those minor league parks. You know, unfortunately, some of them won't feel the old minor league parks. Mm-hmm. They get the feel of the new park. Some of the old parks had such nostalgia associated with them. It was just incredible.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I was disappointed about, though, just to talk about, was that Jameson Trower last year, when he went to Duke, he had a home run off the bull. In left field, and I turn over to the Duke guys at the end. I go, "So does he win the stake for hitting the bull?" And she goes, "No, that's only for Bulls players."
Oh,
so I'm like that. So I was so disappointed because I was ready to go and make sure Trower got the stake for hitting one out of the BAP. But
well, I'll tell you what, if he hits the bull, I'll make sure that he gets a stake. How about that?
All right,
it doesn't have to be Duke that takes care of that.
I'd be willing to chip on that too, honestly.
Yeah, you heard it here first, here. So any of you Eastern Shore baseball players, hit bull, win stake. It may not be from the Bulls themselves, but you'll get your stake. You'll get it, just like Crash Davis.
All right,
Coach, thanks for joining us. This was fun. We're looking forward to the season, and best of luck next weekend on the road at Austin Peay.
Thank you very much.
He's Brian Holloman, everybody. He's the new head coach of Hawk baseball. First pitch in just a week or so from now. And then they're at home for the first time February 27th against LaSalle. Nice. All right, that'll do it for us here on Hawk Talk Live. I want to thank our guests for the week, Bobby Collins, Fred Batchelor, and Mr. Brian Holloman. Here's a preview of what's going on this weekend around Hawk athletics. Basketball's got a doubleheader at Bethune-Cookman on Saturday. Women's pregame at 2 o'clock or at 1:50, the tip-offs at 2 o'clock, the men to follow half an hour after that. Then basketball visits Howard on Monday night. Women's pregame at 5:20, tips at 5:30, men to follow half an hour after that. Indoor track is off for the weekend. They've got MEAC championships next weekend. And then bowling's also off. They'll be down in Houston for the Stephen F. Austin Invitational next weekend as well. You can visit EasternShoreHawks.com for more information on anything we might have missed here on the show. I want to thank Steve Clendenin, our radio producer at sfmsports.net. You can visit that website for more local sports coverage. Raylan Wardlaw is our video producer today. You can look for the rebroadcast of this show on the Eastern Shore Athletics website this weekend. And my co-host, Matt McCann, stepping up once again. You passed the second audition here. We might bring you back once more.
All right, good. I'm passing these so far, and I look forward to this, and it's a lot of fun.
For sure. We'll be back on the air Thursday, February 15th, right here at M Street Grill. Until then, on behalf of all of us here at M Street, this is Will DeBoer saying so long and a pleasant good evening to you from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. This is Hawk Talk Live on the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net. We'll be right back.